thankful. In Sunday school, Ryan said, pray for Brother Williams, and he thought that didn't sound right to him. He said, it's Uncle Melvin, is what he calls me, and I'm not his uncle. But that's okay. When I think of him, I think of baby Brian. I can remember when he was not involved in my life. He cannot remember when I was not involved in his life. Going to be in Galatians chapter 6 this morning. While you're turning, I just need to tell you how grateful and indebted I feel today. Grateful for the opportunity to preach and to be here. As I look out at your faces, indebted for the prayers love and the goodness you've shown. During Janice's illness, her passing, and after that, this morning there is in this congregation a lot of my family, but borderlining and just very, very precious also is church family. And I want to thank you for your goodness to me. This morning, the message is from Galatians chapter 6. If I were to give this message a title, and Lance requires a title, it would be Galatians chapter 6. Do with it what you want, brother. Just because we're saved by grace and not by works of the law does not mean that we should live irresponsible lives. Grace is not a license to do evil. So Paul, in his closing words to the church at Galatia, gives practical instruction in living our lives in a manner that pleases Him, our Lord and Savior, the God of all creation. People who live only for themselves know nothing of Christian responsibility, or they're in direct rebellion to it, and know very little or blocking out the marvelous grace of God. In Ephesians chapter 6, it says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. The first part I want to deal with in these verses is spirituality. Only the spiritual can help other people in a meaningful way. Now, if you want to know the definition of spiritual, be careful about Googling it. It gets real shallow there real quick. But after reading Webster and praying, the definition that we're going to use today is this: the things of the Spirit has preeminence over material things. That's spirituality. The things of the Spirit has preeminence over spiritual or over material things. Some things you need to pray about, some things you don't. Some things are material and just are there. My electricity bill, I do not pray over whether I should pay it or not. Now, sometimes I have to pray, Lord, where's the money coming from? Especially that July electric bill, wasn't that a dandy? But we need to be real, real careful when we substitute material things and try to make them spiritual things. When I designed my house, I started with just a blank sheet of paper, and I had some perimeters, things I knew I couldn't afford and things I could, and I designed our house, and I went through lots and lots of paper. But some of the things that were built in was electric heat, because it's an all-electric home. Stratford doesn't have natural gas. Air conditioning. Wiring for a microwave and a refrigerator. And I wanted all those things. Now, I have, well, they used to have friends, I haven't been around them in several years, who do without all those things. They're called Amish. We all know about Amish in our community. And by the way, I like them. The ones I work with, I like. But the one I worked closest with bought what they call an English house, which means like you live in, and he pulled the wiring out of it, did away with the electricity, and made that a spiritual matter. Now, I have trouble when people start trying to materialize spiritual. Because you see, if it's wicked and evil and you're of the devil to drive a car, but it's not wicked for me to pay you to drive me in your car, that's inconsistent. If you don't want electricity in your home, but you use your neighbor's refrigerator and freezer to keep your food frozen and cold, be careful, folks, when you try to make physical things, material things, spiritual. It leads to inconsistencies and does violence oftentimes to the Word of God. Now, it's important to be spiritual because it says here only the spiritual can restore a brother that needs help. Now, Paul does not endorse looking over someone's heretical sins or heretical teachings for the sake of fellowship. What he's talking about is trying to help someone get back on the right path that they strayed from. And the goal is restoration and not condemnation. Spiritual people want to help other people. Matthew 23, verse 4 says, "For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one finger, with one of their fingers. This is talking about this religious crowd who were lacking in spiritual attributes. Pharisees is who we're talking about. But they just wanted you to know their high standing in spirituality, which in fact removes them from the class of spiritual. And we need to be careful about that. We truly do. Meekness is a necessity, not self-righteousness. And I understand when you start really turning your heart over to God and really want to please Him and really want to live for Him, and we all should be in that category, it's tough sometimes not to measure ourselves against others. But let me tell you, my friend, when we start doing that, we lose meekness and humility and spirituality. And we become self-centered, egotistical Pharisees. So it is a necessity. The Lord, when He was dealing with sin, never condoned the sin, but He loved the sinner. When He was dealing with the woman who was taken in the very act of adultery, what did He say? After the others left, He looked at her and said, "Neither do I condemn thee." That means I'm not going to put you to death. That does not mean I don't think you did anything wrong. That is not what He said. What He said was, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." And there's a great difference between condoning and telling someone they should repent and shun their sin. And that's what Jesus did. He didn't say, it's kind of like, and my mind was so full of stuff today as I was thinking between spiritual and physical. Home security is not a spiritual matter. Now, if you're protecting your family, it can borderline on that. That's different. But when you're guarding your stuff, that's a material matter. I have a security system. I know 911, okay? But that does not make me spiritual in any sense of the word. And I could go a little further with things, home things I have in my house that you might too, but they're none of them spiritual. It's all material stuff. And if someone comes to my house, if they want to do a snatch and grab, they can probably get away with it. You can write that down. I don't care. But if you hang around too long and come back into my bedroom, material things may be involved. Amen. Now, that's not because I'm a preacher. It's not because I'm godly. It's not because... Well, what it is because I'm an old man and I want to save my hide. That's what it is. You which can discern between spiritual and material can help folks in a spiritual way. You can do that. And that's what he starts out here with is, ye which are spiritual, help this fella that's in trouble. And that's where we need to be, my friend. Our duty in regard to a brother in error is to love him. Love one another is used more than 10 times in the New Testament. You know what that means? That means, hey, let's show some love one for another. And the old saying, love covers a multitude of sins, I don't think that's condoning, but we're able to look over other people's faults if we love them enough. as a pastor for many years, as a married man for many, many years, I knew my wife better than you did. I knew her attributes, and I knew her faults. And bless your hearts, I really didn't need you pointing out her faults to me. I already knew them. We lived through that. We deal with that. None of your business. Why? Because I loved her. Still do. And when I have brothers and sisters who are struggling in their walk for God, do I look down on them and say, boy, I would never do that? Not if I'm spiritual. But rather, I want to help them. Need to encourage them. Need to love them. And then, first and foremost, probably after love comes pray one for another. Prayer. James 5:16 simply says, pray one for another. Romans 12:10 says, prefer one another. What does that mean? That means let you have first place. You know how you can show love sometimes, fellas? Now, this is hard for some of us who like to talk. When someone's telling a story and you immediately think of another one, you don't have to top him. Love lets you just listen to his story and go on about your business. When there's arguments and you've got the proof. Boy, this computer stuff, Google and whatever you have in your phone, that ruins a lot of good arguments. When I was pastoring in Summersville, those folks know about nature down there. They live in it. That's why they're down there. They want to live in nature. And the discussion between a cottonmouth and a, what's the other name for them? Water moccasin came up. And some of the guys were differentiating between the two. And I said, I don't know the difference. And they started explaining the difference to me. And a missionary who was there, he just got on his phone and did this. And he showed me and says, cottonmouth, commonly referred to as water moccasin or vice versa. Okay, I didn't do this. I didn't say, see? Now, it may have been the only time I was right on that nature stuff because they knew it. But you know what? Love says, yeah. And just hand it back to him. And that's okay. That's just simple, silly little ways. Let them have the best story. You don't have to prove everybody wrong. Because there's going to come a time when things of very important nature come. And if they have affection for you, they're a whole lot more ready to listen to you than if you've shown them who's the boss. That's called preferring one another. Hospitality one to another. Let their home, let your home be open. Just love on folks. That's how you help people. And then verse 2 here says, bear one another's burdens. I'll use my wife since she cannot object to it. In her life, she had some pain. She had some sickness. She had some real hurt. She shed some tears over those. You run around for a few months with your back broken multiple places. You shed tears.
But in her 75 years, she shed way, way more tears for other people than she ever shed for herself. And that ought to be something that could be said about every one of us who care about other Christians, about other folks that aren't Christian. That's called bearing one another's burdens. And then, by love, serve one another. So fulfill the law of Christ. That is the law of Christ, that we love one another. With our own attitude, one thing we need to do is not expect others to bear our burdens. As a pastor, I've got to know lots of different people with lots of different expectations. One young family joined our church, and I said, "What do you expect your church to do for you?" He said, "I think those expectations can be met easily. What I'm concerned about is what can I do for our church?" That's the right attitude, folks. Bear one another. I also had another lady who joined our church, and she thought an excellent idea for a work day would be some of the men spend their Saturdays coming out to her house and building the privacy fence because she couldn't get along with her neighbors. There's a difference there, amen? There's a difference in basic attitude. Now, which one do you fit best? Which one do you fit best? No, we never had that work day. Each person should test their own work. Verse 4. But let every man prove his own work. That's what that means. Be honest with yourselves. That's a tough thing to do, but it's something that's necessary for a Christian who is going to be spiritual to do. Look at yourself honestly in a spiritual way. Well, I don't like what I see. Fix it. Most of us don't when we get honest. Amen. We don't. Now, well, probably we don't fix it either. But we don't like it. Because sometimes honesty hurts us. But we should prove our own work. Why are you here this morning? Let's get simple. Are you here because, well, this is what's expected of me. I'm a member of Berean Baptist Church. Or, well, because my mom and dad would kill me if I wasn't here. Or, keep peace in the family. Now listen, there's a lot of folks who go to church for all those reasons there. And none of them are the right one. Ought to be here to hear the Word of God, apply it to our hearts, and ask God to make us more like Him. That's a spiritual attitude. Then we need to share the blessings. Verse 6. Let him that is taught in the Word communicate unto him that teacheth all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunities, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now, your upbringing shows stuff. I can almost never hear this or read this without saying, "For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap," because that's how Brother Gray always read it. But you know, if you look closely at that, that's more of a promise of blessing than it is a condemnation of our actions. Now, it is a condemnation. Don't take it wrong. Folks, you're going to reap what you sow. "Well, I'm saved, brother." I know. I'm glad. It breaks my heart as I look at the faces of some folks who have said, "I'm not saved," and you're still not. You need to get born again. Oh, precious friend. I can say with Paul, "I could wish myself accursed." He said, "For Israel." I say, for the folks I know here in this congregation right now, that by your own testimony aren't saved yet. Oh, friends, please, please. Trust Christ. Let Him forgive your sins. Let Him help you. You will reap what you have sown completely. Those of us who are saved, we reap what we've sown filtered through grace, through the blood. Now, there are some things I don't want to answer for, and I've asked God to forgive me for. And I'm thankful that the blood is applied. But there's some things in my life my body bears the marks of that were wrong and always will. You bear those marks too in your heart and life and body, don't you? Well, don't you think God can forgive us for everything? Yes. And He wants to. But precious friend, sometimes we do stuff and we will bear in our bodies the marks. Amen. I think the best piano player that I've ever got to listen to plays this piano most every service. Not just saying that, I mean it. But if Leah was at her house one day fixing big old thick juicy steaks, because I think that's mostly what they eat at their house. And she had one of those big meat cleavers out like this, only she was probably using this hand. And she says, "All that church wants me for is my piano playing. Before every service, after every service, I have to practice with special music. I get so tired of that. I get so tired of them using me. I'm going to fix it where they can't use me." And she takes that McCleaver and whack! Chops her wrist off right here. And then she comes to her senses and gets a tourniquet and gets it fixed. But her hand is gone. Now she can repent of what she did. And she can be sorry for what she did. Bless her heart. She could still make more music with this hand than I ever could with both of them. But she could never, ever, ever, ever be back to where she was when she committed that sin. Well, don't worry. I'm not going to chop my hands off to hinder my musical ability, because I ain't got none. But I have done other stupid things, almost as foolish. And so have you. And we do reap what we sow. But also, if we invest our lives for God, you know what we're going to reap? What we've sown. "He that soweth to the flesh shall of the Spirit reap corruption." But it also goes on and says, He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And folks, more than salvation here, we can be blessed. We are blessed. God is good to us. Sowing to the Spirit brings a wonderful harvest. As I mature, I try to not say get old, but that's what I am. I reflect more on my life than I did when I was 21. Got a lot more to reflect on than I did when I was... I could probably remember it better then, but... I want my life to count for God. And what I've done, I've been in church for 60 plus years. That's pretty good. Never been out since I got saved. That's pretty good. But you know what I'm more concerned about than that? The next years I have left. What's that going to mean for God? Where will souls be on account of my life and my testimony and my witness to them in the next years? Notice I didn't say 60 because I ain't planning on that. Hosea 10:12 says, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you." Folks, we need to get serious about searching for God, for seeking God. Failure to keep on keeping on causes many to fail in the harvest. Let's don't do it. Well, preacher, how do I do that? Do I just say, okay, I'm going to serve God the next 30 years? No. It's simpler than that. Serve God today and make no provision to not serve Him tomorrow. It's that simple. Serve God today and don't make plans, provisions, or excuses for not serving Him tomorrow. Keep on keeping on. It's our duty to do good. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Have you helped somebody lately? Have you gone out of your way to encourage? In your prayer life, who's the number one on your list? You or someone you've got a burden for? When God shows you how you can help someone, is your first thought, whoa, that'll cost me money? Or do you think, God, make it worthwhile for you? Oh, folks, let's take this thing of serving God spiritually. Make it spiritual. Look at it spiritually. And then let God have His will and way in our lives today. And you know what will happen? We'll be the better for it. Because you see, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's all I'm saying. Father in heaven, as we bow before You today, I pray first for those who are here that have never trusted You as eternal Savior. Help them to understand that all their good works, all their good intentions, all their efforts, all their money, none of that will cause their soul to miss hell. But that's exactly where they're bound and will be there for all eternity, save they repent and trust You as eternal Savior. Then, Lord, for the majority of us who are saved, who have trusted You, who have our sins forgiven, and have deed to an eternal home in your presence. Thank you, dear God. But Lord, would you work in our lives and in our hearts today and cause us to want to put you first in all matters, that we can be a spiritual person and thereby qualified to help others also. Work in us, Lord, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you need to come, maybe the Lord's touched your heart, why don't you come slip out right now and just say, Lord, you know me, and I've got too good a look at me. Would you help me today? Why don't you come?